Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Cheryl Hardy, FAA Production Studios Public Relations and National FAST Team Representative of the Year from Orlando, Florida, who is today's host.
Good afternoon. This is Cheryl Hardy with the FAA Production Studios and radio talk show Managing Safety, coming to you from the FAA Production Studio from the Stall, Spin, and Other Safety Matters seminar that we've had down here on the field today at the Production Studios. Our host today was Mr. Tom Evans, and he put together an incredible array of speakers for the program. We had about 100 people in attendance, and not to mention who joined us on the stream today. But right now I have a special guest with me, and he was one of our premier speakers for the day, Mr. Jim Alsep. And Jim, welcome.
Thank you, Cheryl.
We had a great day today.
Oh, fabulous.
Now, Jim, you are a Master CFI aerobatic instructor.
Yes.
Correct. And charter member of SAFE.
Yes, I am.
Well, tell me a little bit more about your background.
Basically, I became a pilot about 20 years ago at Indiantown, which is in Martin County in Florida. And at the time, that was kind of a mecca for Florida aerobatics. There's a lot going on. And I sat there in the field with my little Luscombe and watched all these fabulous pilots do amazing things with incredible airplanes and said, I think I want to do that. So here I am. 20 years later, I'm an aerobatic instructor. I enjoy competition with, I used to fly at Pitts, which I truly, truly love, but because of, you know, the requirement to have a two-place airplane, I fly a Super Decathlon now.
And tell me a little bit about Super Decathlon.
It's a great airplane. It does anything that you would want to do. It's decent cross-country. It's not unlike flying a Cessna 172. As far as speed and range goes. It does great aerobatics. Its only shortcoming is we don't do snap rolls in decathlons. Other than that, and of course the vertical line is limited, but it's a great airplane for basic aerobatics. It's unforgiving. I should say it's not unforgiving. The big thing we find with the sportsman figures is the roll rate and the restricted airspeeds. We can limit all of our aerobatics to 4 G's, which gives us a speed around 150 to 160, which is a very comfortable speed from the pilot's perspective, the student. Things are relatively slow, and so you know what's going on. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, the airplane does the maneuver, so there's no washout or lack of power. You get through them. It's a great airplane to learn in.
Now, you're taking off from what I understand is the longest grass strip in the country.
Yes, it is.
Tell us a little bit about the field.
6,300 feet long. It's beautifully maintained. We're in the heart of cattle and citrus country, so it's just got a great soil there. It's got good drainage, so it's a rare time when you can't land and take off safely from the field.
You gave us a wonderful presentation today, and I know you had many tips that you went over, but let's talk about your program, Spins Are Just Another Maneuver, and why did you determine that name for your program today?
Because that's a fact. We don't talk about it. Actually, Diego makes a very good point of it in many of the seminars that he gives when he talks about when you're a student, you're given a license to learn. And moving forward with your flying career, you should endeavor to learn all of the maneuvers an airplane is capable, and you should practice them, and that includes using full deflection on your controls when appropriate and being comfortable with it. So it follows that if you take the airplane through its entire envelope, that includes stalls, They're actually flying maneuvers we can do within the stall. And that leads you to spins, which is just another variation of a stall. And there's actually maneuvers within a spin that advanced pilots can do in advanced airplanes. So it's a fact. A spin or stalls are just another maneuver, like a climb, a descent, a turn.
And in the beginning of your program, you also asked and basically answered the question, what is an unusual attitude?
Oh, yeah. A young lady actually asked that question at a Sun and Fun seminar. I gave the same talk. And I'd been talking, 30, 40 minutes. And a hand goes up in the audience. She says, excuse me, but what is an unusual attitude? And I'm thinking, shame on me. Of course, what a great question. And what's interesting is it's subjective. What a Cessna pilot might find unusual is everyday ho-hum for an aerobatic pilot.
Sure.
So it's very important that when we instruct emergency maneuvers, we begin at a level that most pilots would understand. And their comfort level is less than 20-degree bank and less than 10 degrees nose up or nose down. So
sure,
to go beyond that is quite unusual for many pilots.
It is,
yeah.
Because we are exhibiting what we were taught.
Yeah.
And that's the extent of what we were taught.
And the problem with that, it's great if we put it in context of, okay, I'm going to fly my friend down to Key West and introduce him to aviation. But the problem comes is when we get in trouble with our airplane.
Right.
We fly the way we train. If you have never done a 60-degree 2G turn in an emergency, you won't do it.
Absolutely.
And the consequences could be devastating.
Let's talk about some of the key points that you brought up today. You talked about top rudder, aileron in the same direction. Let's start going down your first set of key points.
Top rudder, what a beautiful, beautiful concept. A friend of mine, who was actually my instructor when I got my multi-engine, my CFI, he was ex-Air Force, and top rudder, best I can figure, is a military term. Most military pilots know it, most civilians don't. But it's just the concept of when an airplane is in a bank, whether it's a mild bank or a severe bank, even to the point of being inverted, The correct control is top rudder, which means the rudder high in the cockpit, the rudder pedal on the sky side of the airplane. If you envision an airplane in a bank, the top rudder becomes kind of obvious. It's the one in the high position. And the fact of the matter is that if you unload your elevator, which comes from another key point, when you're inverted, you never pull. So in all emergency maneuvers, you must have the elevator in its neutral position. Given that, from any unusual nose-low attitude, top rudder with full aileron in the same direction will cause the airplane to immediately roll to a wings-level position. And now we're back in our comfort zone and life is good again.
And I must comment, you mentioned that not many people knew the term top rudder. You're absolutely correct, because there were several comments today, and people were saying the recognition was there. Okay, I like that. Yes, top rudder. It made sense. So that was very interesting to bring up that point. It's very true. Very true. Zero-G recovery.
Oh, that's the one that makes you smile. Again, we go back to the concept of loading and unloading. Those are terms that we use. When we deflect a control surface, an aileron, a rudder, an elevator, when we deflect it, we are putting pressure on the control surface and actually rotating the airplane on one of its axes. So the term unload means to allow, I say again, allow the airplane knows where its neutral position is. If you remove your pressure, your force, you take your hands and feet off the controls, they will go to a neutral, unloaded position. At that point, the airplane is unloaded, and if the nose is high, that is to say above the horizon, it will assume an arching or ballistic flight path, much like a football. You throw it up in the air, and it makes a nice gentle arc until it's coming down. And if we allow the airplane to follow that ballistic flight path from a nose-high attitude, it will eventually go to a nose-low attitude. Now we're back in our comfort zone because we know to use top rudder and aileron in the same
Very
direction.
Good. Very good. Excellent. We went to spins and recovery at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the things that I wanted to make a notation of, though, and I know we can't get to everything in your program today because it was so well covered. It was a wonderful program. Early spin recognition.
Yes. That's my thing. I don't know a whole lot of aerobatic schools that emphasize that. Most of the aerobatic schools, most of the instructors I know, when you say spin training, they focus on developed spins and specifically dynamic spins that you would expect from a high-performance aerobatic airplane. If you fly that type of an airplane, if you're an aerobatic pilot, if you're a test pilot, you absolutely, positively must have advanced spin training. However, those of us who fly Cessnas, Pipers, and other general aviation airplane, we're not in the business of multiple turn spins. What we fear most would be a mistake at low altitude, turning that base to final. And there, if we make a mistake, we only have an instant to recover and prevent a tragedy. So I emphasize spin recognition. And basically, that means it. And this concept comes from training for tailwheel aircraft. To fly a tail dragger properly, we're very astute on watching where the nose is pointing. We call that yaw, and we control it with our rudder pedals. So all pilots need to be aware of yaw. When they see it, their brain should associate yaw with a spin, even if it's not a spin. We can't take the chance. So when we recognize yaw in one of those oh shuck moments where we're in an unusual attitude, then we consider that spin recognition and we apply the spin recovery procedures. And that's kind of what I emphasize.
Jim, for our listeners, we're going to take a quick break. But we're going to come right back to this topic.
Now, let's rejoin Cheryl Hardy and Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios.
Welcome back to Managing Safety, and our guest today is Mr. Jim Alsip, and he is talking on his spin and recovery program that he did today for us at the FAA Production Studios. Jim, great to have you back with us. I know all our listeners are still tuned in and ready to hear some more about your program today. Now, we just talked about early spin recognition, and let's move on to one of your other key points. Let's talk about the proper aerobatic airplane.
Yes. Again, that's just one of my personal points that I'm very adamant about. Proper training, I think, for emergency maneuvers involves scenarios. And when we put a student, an inexperienced pilot, into an emergency scenario, we are at the edges, by definition, at the edges of the envelope. And if we don't do things just right, the airplane might readily go into an aerobatic attitude. That's certainly the case with spin training. So we need an airplane that can do aerobatic maneuvers. That's not to say that the skills that we're learning do not apply to a Cessna.
Very good.
But mm-hmm. an emergency in a Cessna, we can pop a few rivets
right.
and safely land the airplane, but
right.
we don't want to do that in training.
So in training, it's very important to have that proper aircraft in order to get these maneuvers down and get them to memory, committed to memory, and so that we're
exactly.
acting upon them.
And make mistakes.
Properly.
You
yes,
know,
absolutely.
We can make mistakes
That's
and
the
have
time.
Fun.
That's the time to make mistakes.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. Absolutely. Safety considerations.
There's three, as I point out in my presentation. Altitude, and last but not least, altitude.
Absolutely.
Every single year, pilots die, and sometimes they take friends with them.
Yes.
Because they maneuver at low altitude. Just don't do it. If you don't care about yourself, think about all the other lives that you affect when you kill yourself in an airplane.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And more than that, you can't say. You know, we need to be aware of what we're doing. We need to pay attention to what we're doing out there. And that's a very, very, very good point. Let's go on to your spin recovery, your power ailerons, rudder, elevator.
Yes. PARE mm-hmm. is the acronym. And actually, Rich Stowell out in California, he's a master CFI and well-known educator. He's got a copyright on that, actually, so we have to give credit to Rich whenever we use his PARE procedure.
Certainly.
But this is not really that different from the hands-off procedure that we hear people talk about. When you take the power out of any recovery, whether it be a nose-high recovery or a spin recovery, you're removing engine torque from the recovery process. And, of course, torque. There we go. Torque is what creates the rotation on the vertical axis, or the yaw.
Right.
Aileron, that's P-A, aileron, they must be neutral. If they're not, some strange aerodynamics can take place. And, again, there's going to be effects on the airplane that the pilot will not recognize. So keep the ailerons neutral. That takes them out of the ballgame. Rudder, P-A-R, rudder. That means full rudder opposite the direction of turn. And in training, this is easy. We're going to spin left. We kick left rudder. We come out with opposite rudder, right? But in the real world, how do you know what opposite rudder is? It's the one that's hard to push. Okay, you've got two rudders. One goes down easily, wrong one. The one that's hard to push is opposite rudder. Last but not least, E, elevator, P-A-R-E. The elevator goes back to the basics, unloaded. That means to neutral. That means let go of the stick. So really, if you follow Rich's procedures, P-A-R-E, you're unloading the airplane with the exception of the rudder, and you're using opposite rudder to stop rotation. It's a very effective memory aid, P-A-R-E.
Now, for those of you that didn't tune in and see Jim's program on the stream, he had an excellent presentation with some great video as well to demonstrate his points. Another interesting point that you brought up is, where is the ball in a third rotation?
That is an amazing subject. Most people ask me, well, Jim, what about the ball? Because I think this comes from our instrument training. Somewhere along the line, we were taught to step on the ball. That is a function of instrument training, and I'm actually not qualified to talk about instrument spins, okay, other than don't do it. Now, it's interesting, though, when we're doing spin training, well, sir, what do I do? Do I step on the ball, or what do I do with that ball? Well, the first thing is, don't be looking at the ball. What spin training teaches you to do is to look straight ahead over the nose of the airplane. If you look anywhere else, your disorientation could get so severe that you will freeze up and be completely frozen. So during spins training, during real life spins, don't be looking at the ball. Be looking out the window over the nose. And that way your mind will actually see what's going on. If you look at the ball, you'll get confused.
That sounds absolutely essential to me.
Now, the interesting thing is that's at spin entry. If you were actually put a video on the ball, you would see that the ball goes out spin, out turn during the initial phases of a spin. But when the spin becomes developed, the ball moves back to the center. Now, that's a revolutionary thing. A lot of people don't realize that. Well, what does it mean? I find it a fascinating question. I don't know. If I was an aeronautical engineer or a physicist, maybe that means you don't need rudder to recover. Now, that's just, again, we're not talking about procedures, but
sure.
What does the fact that that ball in the middle mean? It
Good
means
question.
That the spin is stable. It's coordinated. That means your in-spin forces are in balance with your out-spin forces. The airplane is in coordinated flight. Remember, spins are maneuvers.
Right.
So that's more interesting than it is of any practical value, but it's a fascinating subject.
Well, I can't tell you how much we value you being here today and the essence of everything that your program did capture. I know a lot of people walked away today saying, boy, that just really capped off the day of some really great presentations. Is there any last-minute things from your program that you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Yes, Cheryl. Can I give a plug for GATV Online?
I absolutely wish you would.
Outstanding. We have a producer down in Fort Pierce, Florida, who has a web program, GATVOnline.com, and he has a weekly aviation show that is featured, I guess, 24/7 on the Internet, and you can either see the current show or go back in the archives and pick up some missed shows. The show is also picked up by some of the private broadcasting stations across the country. We have one in Palm Beach, Channel 24 or 44 in West Palm Beach. Other independent stations can pick up these programmings. And I have a weekly feature on there called Hangar Talk. And it's a little short segment, and each week we talk about something that is either benefits safety or it's an interesting anecdote or maybe just an opinion. But it's varies from week to week, and it's a lot of fun.
And the website for that?
www.gatvonline.
Excellent, excellent. Now, where can our listeners find you?
I'm at www.dylan, with a Y, dylanaviation.com.
Excellent.
And on there, I've people have told me that my my blogs are valuable and interesting. And also there's links to some of my videos, just not only the Hangar Talk videos, but some of my key points videos that we produce.
Perfect. So all of you know now how to get in touch with Jim, and I highly recommend that you look him up. I recommend that you look up the GATV as well. And I really thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Cheryl.
It was an incredible program. And this is Cheryl Hardy with the FAA Production Studios and Managing Safety. And don't forget to tune in and listen to us on iTunes. We've got quite a few shows up. We're getting ready to reach our 100th show very soon. So please tune in, and you can tune into our programming on www.faaproductionstudios.com, where you can get our Managing Safety as well. And don't forget to look at our videos on demand.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.